The Bible says in Isaiah 66, verse number 2, to this man will I look, to him who is of a broken and contrite spirit and who trembles at my word. I wonder this morning if you're one of those people who have learned to tremble at the word of God. I wonder if you're one of those people who understand that God's word is life. That's where we're at. And that's where we're at in our study of our alone time with the Almighty. The essence of my time with Him. It began with the primacy of salvation. It moved to the responsibility of preparation. And now we're right in the midst of the centrality of revelation. So whatever my time with God is, it centers around the revelation of God's holy word. And last week we tried to help you understand that you need to love it with all you have. Why? For number one, it's purposeful and it is powerful. That was point number one. That's as far as we got last week. And then we move from there to talk about how God's word can not only confront a man, but God's word will convict a man. God's word is purposeful and powerful enough to confront man, to convict man, to cleanse man, and ultimately to convert man, to turn his life around. The bottom line, folks, is that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's it. That's what the Bible says. And we left off by saying that God's word not only does that, those four things, but also condemns a man, doesn't it? Remember Proverbs 13? Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 13. The one who despises the word shall be destroyed. Wow. The one who despises the word shall be destroyed. And then it says, but the one who fears the commandment will be rewarded. Let's move on. It's also personal and penetrating. God's word is that which critiques a man, critiques the individual, so that everything about them is exposed because God knows the intentions of a man's heart. Number two, it challenges the man. It'll challenge you to live in light of what you have just heard. And then thirdly, it confirms the man. Fourthly, to control the man. God's word's powerful enough to control the man. Psalm 119, verse number 97. Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thy commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever mine. I have more insight than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the aged, because I have observed thy precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep thy word. I have not turned aside from thy ordinances, for thou thyself hast taught me. How sweet are thy words to my taste, yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. There is a man who is dominated, who is controlled by the word of God. So much so that he hates every false way. So much so that he has not turned aside from the word of God. So much so that God's word restrains his feet from every evil way. Is it not true that we need God's word to dominate our life? That's why Paul says in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Let the word of Christ be at home in your heart. Let the word of Christ be that which dominates your life. And if you read on in Colossians 3, you realize that if God's word is at home in your heart, it dominates every relationship you encounter, whether it be husband, wife, children, or your boss at work. And if you don't have God's word dominating your life, then your relationship with your wife or your husband or your children or your boss at work is going to falter. That's why Paul says you've got to let God's word dominate your life, be at home in your life, so much so that when you interact with your wife and your children and those at whom you work with, God's spirit moves and works through your life. All of us need to be controlled by God's holy word. It's personal. It's penetrating. It's for you. It's for me. It's a personal word given to you. That's why when you open it and read it, it's God's love letter specifically designed for you that day. And as you read it, it penetrates to the depths of your soul to critique everything about your life, to challenge you to live in light of what has just been scrutinized, and then to control every aspect of that life, so that you are confirmed and established to walk with God. So, God's word is purposeful and powerful. God's word is personal and penetrating. Number three, God's word is precious and pleasing. Precious and pleasing. Psalm 19:10 says it well. God's word is more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. God's word is precious. God's word is pleasing. You know, most people don't see it that way, do they? They don't see it as precious, and they don't see it as pleasing, and therefore they don't spend time alone with the Almighty. But let me give you some characteristics of this. Psalm 119, verse number 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, that thy word has revived me. The arrogant utterly deride me, yet I do not turn aside from thy law. I have remembered thine ordinances from of old, O Lord, and comfort myself." God's word is precious and pleasing enough to comfort your soul. This is my comfort in my affliction. It's God's word that revives me. Psalm 119, verse number 76 says, "Oh, may thy loving kindness comfort me according to thy word to thy servant." Psalm 119, verse number 82, "My eyes fail with longing for thy word while I say, when wilt thou comfort me?" Psalmist says, "I will long to be in your word, to read your word, to know your word, because that's where my comfort lies." Listen, God's word consoles the soul more so than anything else. God's word does that. And you know, very few people really understand that. They think their neighbor can console them, their parents can console them, their spouse can console them, and to some degree they can. They can hold them. They can empathize with them. But let me tell you something. Your spouse, your parents, your friends have not gone through what Jesus Christ himself went through. And Jesus Christ is our high priest who can sympathize with our weaknesses. And therefore, he has given us his word to console us in our time of need. And shame on us for going to another individual before we ever go to God to receive comfort from him. Now, God will use other people to comfort you. Paul talks about that in his letter to the Corinthians. God will do that because God is a God of all comfort. And he comforts those who have difficulties. He comforts them through the word. And the reason God comforts them is not for their sake, but for your sake. Paul tells us that. He says they are comforted so that when you go through a difficulty, they can comfort you with the comfort wherewith God comforted them. See? So God will use other people to comfort you, but you know what? You need to make sure that the first place you go is to the Word of God to receive your comfort. Because God's Word is precious, and God's Word is pleasing to comfort the soul. Number two, to cheer the soul. To cheer the soul. Psalm 119, verse number 14 says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on thy precepts and regard thy ways. I shall delight in thy statutes. I shall not forget thy word." Verse number 24, "Thy testimonies also are my delight." Verse number 35, "Make me walk in the path of thy commandments, for I delight in it." Verse number 47, "And I shall delight in thy commandments." Verse number 70, "Their heart is covered with fat, but I delight in thy law." Verse number 77, "May thy compassion come to me that I may live, for thy law is my delight." Verse number 92, "If thy law had been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction." That's good, isn't it? If God's word had not been my delight, then I would have perished in my affliction. Now, how did the psalmist know that God's word was his delight? Because he knew that God's word would comfort him, so he went there first. And as a result of receiving comfort for his soul was then cheered by God, or he would have perished in his affliction. And then it says over in verse number 143, "Trouble and anguish have come upon me, yet thy commandments are my delight." Is God's word your delight? Does God's word cheer you? It's precious. It's pleasing to comfort, to cheer. Number three, to counsel. To counsel. Psalm 119, 24. "Thy testimonies also are my delight." They are my what? Counselors. They are my counselors. It says over in Psalm 119, verse number 105. Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. God's word shows me where to go because God's word counsels me. Psalm 119, verse number 130 says, the unfolding of thy words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. Are you simple-minded? God's word gives you understanding. You need to be shown where to go and what to do. God's word will counsel you. You need to understand that. I mean, you can come to me for counsel, and I'll be glad to talk to you. But the only thing I'm going to do is share with you what God's word says, because God's word is your counselor. I'll direct you back to the word of God because you need to know what God's word says, but God's word is going to tell you exactly what you need to do. And know what I found out? I have found out that people don't want counsel from God. They don't want counsel from God. Because when they find out what God says, they scratch their head. Well, I'm not sure I want to do that. Then what'd you come see me for? Because I'm just going to tell you what God says, right? So the bottom line is, if you don't want to know what God has for you, then don't ever go see someone who biblically counsels you, because they're going to tell you what God says for you. If you want true biblical counsel, then you need to go to someone who will direct you to the counsels of the scriptures, because that word of God will teach you, will give you light and show you where to go. Then the question comes, will you obey that light? It's precious. It's pleasing for your soul to comfort, to cheer, to counsel. The Bible says in Proverbs 6:23, for thy commandment is a lamp, thy teaching is light. But it's also precious and pleasing because it compels a man. It moves a man. It motivates the man. Psalm 119, verse number 32 says, teach me, O Lord, thy way, or the way of thy statutes, and I shall observe it to the end. If you teach me, I'll observe it. Give me understanding, verse number 34. Make me walk, verse number 35. Incline my heart to thy testimonies, verse number 36. Turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in thy ways. God's word is that which compels a man. Verse number 120 says this. Psalm 119, 120 says, my flesh trembles for fear of thee, and I am afraid of thy judgments. Well, that's a motivating factor right there. I fear thy commandments. That compels a man to obey the word of God. Remember the words back in Deuteronomy chapter 17? If you don't, let me refresh your memory. It's exhortations to the king, the king's responsibility. Listen to what it says. Now it shall come about when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, he shall write for himself a copy of this law on a scroll in the presence of the Levitical priests. Now, I've always thought that it'd be good for every parent to sit down with their child and make them write the law of God verse by verse by verse. Every king had to. He had to do it in front of the Levitical priesthood. He had to write the law of God out. Why? Seems kind of monotonous. If it's already written, why write it again? Bible tells you. It says, and it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord his God by carefully observing all the words of this law and these statutes, that his heart may not be lifted up above his countrymen, and that he may not turn aside from the commandment to the right or to the left, in order that he and his sons may continue long in his kingdom in the midst of Israel. God says, have the king write the law of God out, because the law of God is going to compel the king to live my kind of life. He's going to read it every day. He's going to learn to fear his God every day. He's not going to lift himself above everybody else, but he's going to humbly submit to my law, and his years of his kingdom will be long because he will obey my word. That's a motivating factor. God's word compels the man. That's why it's so precious. That's why it's so pleasing. Important for us to grasp. What moves you? What compels you each day? God's word is purposeful and powerful. God's word is personal and penetrating. God's word is precious and pleasing. And lastly, God's word is praiseworthy and perennial. God's word is praiseworthy and perennial. Psalm 138, verse number 2 says, thy word, O Lord, is magnified even as thy very name. That verse right there should set you on course for understanding how important God's word is. We know that at the name of Jesus, every knee is going to bow, right? It's at the name of Jesus that every man is saved. Thy word, O Lord, is magnified even as thy very name. God's word is on the same plane as his name because God is his word. It is his word. It's praiseworthy. It's perennial. Psalm 119, verse number 161 says this, princes persecute me without cause, but my heart stands in awe of thy words. In awe of thy words. It's praiseworthy. It's perennial. Turn with me to Psalm 19. Let me give you four more characteristics and then we'll close. Psalm 19. We're going to start in verse number 8 and go down to verse number 9 and go back up to verse number 7. God's word is praiseworthy. God's word is perennial. You know why? Number one is because it is absolutely clear. It's clear. So it says in Psalm 19, verse number 8, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure. Could be translated lucid. It's absolutely clear. That means that God's word is not mystifying. God's word is not confusing. God's word is not puzzling. Oh, granted, there are some things that we might have difficulty understanding at times, but the Bible says that his word is lucid. It's clear. It's not puzzling. It might take some work for you to study it, to unravel some of the truths that are deep truths. But the reason it's praiseworthy, the reason it's perennial, is because it's absolutely pure. It's clear. Number two, it's comely. It is comely. It's absolutely lovely. The Bible says in verse number 9, the fear of the Lord is clean. Clean. It's a word that means without any impurity, any filthiness, any defilement, any imperfections. It's a word that means without sin, without corruption, without error. His word is clean. That makes it lovely. That makes it comely. You know, don't you want a bride who's clean? When you're looking for a bride, sure you are. You want that clean, pure bride. God's word is clean. It's so lovely. It's beautiful. It says in Psalm 119, verse number 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loves it. Isn't that good? It's so clean. It's so clear. It's so comely. Your servant loves it. And then it says, not only is it clear, not only is it comely, but it is constant. That's why it's praiseworthy and perennial. Look up at verse number 7. It says, the testimony of the Lord is sure. That means it's constant. That means it's unwavering. That means it's immovable, unmistakable, absolutely reliable. That's why Peter said, we have a more sure prophetic word. He goes, I was on the Mount of Transfiguration. I saw the glory of the Lord unveiled before me. But we have a more sure prophetic word. We have God's inspired word. It's a sure thing. It's an immovable thing. It's an unmistakable thing. It is a constant thing. Never leaves. That's why Christ said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. They're unchanging. They are constant. That's why it's praiseworthy and perennial. Clear, comely, constant, and lastly, complete. Complete. The law of the Lord, verse number 7, is perfect. It's whole. It's sufficient. It's absolutely complete. That's why Paul said in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 that everything you need to make the man of God thoroughly complete is right here. the inspired word of God. It completes the man. If you're incomplete, God's word completes you. It makes you exactly what you need to be. Is it any wonder that Paul told Timothy, you got to preach the word, Timothy. You got to preach it in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and patience. Why? Because that's the only thing that will fix those who hurt and feed those who are hungry. That's it. God's word is complete. God's word is constant. God's word is comely, lovely, clean. God's word is clear. That's why it's praiseworthy. That's why it's perennial. The centrality of Revelation. My desire over last week and this week was to somehow help you understand that everything else pales in comparison to God's word. Everything. Nothing meets up to it. Nothing. I want you to love the word of God. I want you to hunger for the word of God. Because you see, that allows us to get into the how-tos of spending time with God in his word. And I want that to be profitable for you. So between now and then, you've got to ask yourself, do I love the law of God? Do I see it as purposeful and powerful in my life? Do I see it as personal and penetrating in my life? Am I the kind of person who sees it as precious and pleasing, as praiseworthy and perennial? If not, then ask God to do a work in your life. I've quoted from J.C. Ryle before. I want to end our time this morning by quoting once again from the book that he wrote, Thoughts for Young Men. Great book. Really a good book. He writes to young men. He says that you need to determine, as long as you live, to make the Bible your guide and advisor. Those are good thoughts, aren't they? A godly man saying to a young man, listen, this is what you need to do. God's word is your counsel. God's word is that which compels you. God's word is that which critiques you. God's word is that which motivates you. God's word is that which cheers you. God's word is that which captivates you. God's word is that which controls you. So therefore, make sure God's word is always at your disposal. Listen to what he says as he gives counsel to young men, and may we apply it to our lives today. The Bible is God's merciful provision for sinful man's soul, the map by which he must steer his course if he would attain eternal life. All that we need to know in order to make us peaceful, holy, or happy is there richly contained. If a young man wants to know how to begin life well, let him hear what David says. How can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. Young man, I challenge you to make a habit of reading the Bible and not to let the habit be broken. Let not the laughter of companions, let not the bad customs of the family you may live in, let none of these things prevent your doing it. Determine that you will not only have a Bible, but also make time to read your Bible. Permit no man to persuade you that it is only a book for Sunday school children and old women. It is the book from which King David got wisdom and understanding. It is a book which young Timothy knew from his childhood. Never be ashamed of reading it. Proverbs 13:13, do not despise the word. I dwell on these things more because this is an age of reading, of making many books. There seems no end, though few of them are really profitable. There seems a rage for cheap printing and publishing. Newspapers of every sort abound, and the tone of some which have the widest circulation speaks badly for the taste of the age. Amidst the flood of dangerous reading, I plead for my master's book. I call upon you not to forget the book of the soul. Let not newspapers, novels, and romances be read while the prophets and apostles lie despised. Let not the exciting, lustful swallow up your attention while the edifying and the sanctifying can find no place in your mind. Young man, give the Bible the honor due to it every day you live. Whatever you read, read that first, and beware of bad books. There are plenty in this day. Take heed what you read. I suspect there is more harm done to souls in this way than most people have an idea is possible. Value all books in proportion as they are agreeable to Scripture. Those that are nearest to it are the best. And those that are farthest from it and most contrary to it are the worst. Good counsel from a man who understood that God's word is purposeful and powerful. God's word is personal and penetrating. That God's word is precious and pleasing. And God's word is praiseworthy and perennial. The question is, do you know that? I trust that you do. Let's pray.